Other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for the best morning show on the internet. It's time for Sam in the Morning with Brigetta, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Tuesday. It's May 1st, Brigetta.
Oh,
it's a new month.
It's like May Day. Did you ever have that thing when you... Oh, yeah. You know, you wouldn't, because never mind. I went to private school, and that's what we did, and it was called May Day celebration, and we, like, did this, like... I totally forgot that that's, like, a Catholic thing.
Uh-huh. Is it a Catholic thing?
I don't know.
I think May Day is, like, for the workers of the world, isn't it?
I don't know.
For the laborers.
What we did is we went outside with the Statue of Mary, and we made these flower, like... It was so cute because I used to have, like, May Day outfits. And we had to wear a uniform to school all the time. That was, like, the rule. But we were allowed to dress up this day for May Day. Mm-hmm. And we took flowers and, like, made a bouquet for, like, your hair. So it's, like, you know, back in the olden days, they used to wear those, like, I don't know, what do you call them, like, headbands?
Right.
With, like, flowers all around. Whatever. So yeah. Anyway, shut up. You're, like,
laughing. Like a crown or something.
Yeah, a crown. That's the word, a crown. So I couldn't think of the words early. So anyway, I made, like, a crown of, like, flowers, and each one of us little girls had it. My mom always made me the prettiest one, so I had, like, all these, like, ribbons and bows, and I was like, ha-ha. And then we, like, crown Mary, like, the statue. I remember the song. It's very weird. But, I mean, we would, like, dance around the statue and, like, say, like, these prayers and stuff, and then, like, I don't know, we tied ribbons around some pole or something. It's really weird. I mean, I was young.
I can't imagine you in Catholic school. I mean, it's
I was bad.
Were you?
I was always in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I like got good grades and stuff, but it was just like, I don't know, I just couldn't pay attention. I'd
be
like,
out of control as always.
Pretty much.
From a young age.
Oh my God, I'll never forget. I was in so much trouble. I used to get in trouble all the time, but dumb things. Like, I had a pencil stuck in my arm once. Like a pencil.
Really?
Yeah, I was like flipping the pencil in the air during math class because I was like so bored. And I went to catch it and like I caught it in air. And when I caught it, I pushed it inside of me.
Whoa.
So I still have lead inside of me. And they didn't know. And I was like, oh my God, I'm holding up my hand. And there's like a pencil stuck in the middle. And they're like, we don't know what to do. It's right next to the vein.
Yeah.
So I'm like, they're like, you're just doing it for attention. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm doing this for attention. I want a pencil stuck in my arm. What the
my
hell?
Arm.
I know. And we had to call like my mom and we had to go like to the emergency room. And they didn't want to pull it out because they were so scared by like vein leaks squirting everywhere.
Yeah.
And, like this whole horror film like scene. And but then I got there and they were like, oh, well, it's close to the vein, but we can just pull it out.
Yeah.
So
good.
But I mean, I was like awful back in the day.
Yeah, I
used
can
to play
imagine.
Tricks on the teachers. I put water like on the door when you like open it, it would slam on your head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're definitely a tomboy.
I was.
By your own admission.
What?
By
true.
Your own admission, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
I did a lot of dumb things.
Yeah. You still do a lot of dumb things.
I know. I'm a klutz,
though. Get yourself in trouble,
this
you know?
That's true. I'm a klutz. So, like, I have a scar right on my eyebrow.
Uh huh.
And I don't know if you can see it, it's like a nail. It looks like a nail. Like it took a nail, like your fingernail, and like mm-hmm. stabbed yourself in the eye, because it's similar to that.
Mm-hmm.
I was eating. You know those little ice cream cups you get in school, and you like they're like really small, and you like peel it open, and you have like the wooden stick.
Yes.
Okay, so I was eating that, and it was like so hard. Yeah. So I'm shoving the wooden stick in there, and I'm like it wouldn't come out, and I'm like getting mad, and so I'm using all my force to like pull it out, and I like pull it out, but it goes. The ice cream flips off the spoon and the spoon goes right into my eyebrow.
Whoa.
Like the wooden spoon. And I'm like, oh my God, oh my God. And I pull it out of my head. And like,
it was stuck in your head. How do you stick things in your head like that?
I don't know. And the whole like lunch table is like, oh my God. And like this bleeding from my forehead. And I'm like, all right, I guess I'm going to the hospital again.
Yeah.
They're just used to me. They're
I know.
Used to me.
You're like such a bruised person, right?
I'm just like retarded.
I mean, you've got bruises all over.
I just don't. Don't pay attention to where I am in space and time. But it's so weird because I'm like the biggest klutz ever, as is my sister, but we're both athletes. When we're on the field, we're like fine.
Right.
And my sister was on, she's on Team USA for figure skating. Like she's pro. Right. And she's just like me. We walk in the walls and we're like, oh, how
really?
Can I get there?
Just wow.
See that today. But when we're on, like, when we're on, we're on. Like, I was a dancer, a professional dancer for years.
Right.
And it's like, you know, when I'm on stage.
You can do that, yeah.
Exactly.
You're just a klutz in your personal life. That's what you say.
It's because you're so on, and, like, sports are like, when you're on stage, you're just so on, and you, like, all your attention goes to that, that when you're off, you're like, man, whatever, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need to care. Like, I have a bruise on my leg, and it looks like it was, like, crazy sex, and I'm like, I didn't even have that this week. So I don't know
poor
where
girl.
You know when, like, someone like holds your, well, I'm sorry, you wouldn't know that, when you hold a woman's legs and
I
you like
know that, why?
Because a woman's like gonna, like, bruise you, you're gonna bruise her,
right?
You know, well,
okay.
I mean, it could be the other way around, depends who you're with. But I'm just saying, like, if you're holding on to a chick by her legs, you know, like, you have, like, you put the, have you ever, like, bruise a chick by her legs?
No.
Yeah, it's happened to me a couple times. Well, it looks like someone, like, grabbed me by my thighs.
Really?
It looks like a print, but it's not.
You don't know where it came from?
No. It appeared yesterday. I'm like, that's weird.
Yeah.
Maybe it was like a ghost.
You sure you weren't drugged or anything? Or?
No, but I was thinking, you know that, what's that ghost that, like, rapes you in your sleep?
Hold on a second. Incubus.
Yeah, okay, yeah. An incubus. I was like, maybe an incubus came in my room.
Yeah.
And, like, raped me in my sleep. Because that's what it looks like on my thigh. And I'm like, that's really odd. I'm glad I have no photo shoot right now. Because if I did have a bikini shoot, I'd be like, I swear to you, that is not a sex bruise.
Wow.
Swear. Don't know where it came from.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Maybe you slept on your hand or something.
No.
No?
It's like, no, it's on my, like, left thigh. Like, I was grabbed. Like, it was
right.
Like, oh, give me that. Like, it was like that kind of, like, a,
yeah, but if you
know what I mean?
Yeah, okay, whatever.
Like someone took their hands and wrapped them around and was like, you know, like a sex bruise.
Yeah.
And it's not. It's just there. I don't, I'm like, that's weird. I woke up and it's there. And it was like this perfect bruise. And I'm like, that's really weird.
So, well, what can I tell you, you know? No, I'm not surprised by anything that happens to you anymore.
I was thinking maybe it's all this, like, energy healing stuff that I'm going to.
Uh-huh.
Maybe, like, somehow, like, some ghost attached itself and it was like, you learned your lesson.
Possibly.
I don't know, anyway.
Possibly, yeah.
What the hell am I talking about? I don't even know. Jesus.
Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Went to this healing thing last night that was absolutely incredible. She's actually going to be on our show on Monday. And I was blown away. Blown away. I mean, this woman is like...
You're going to, like, a lot of people.
Yeah.
For this stuff.
Well, her I'm working with the Reiki, and she fixed other things that... Remember I told you, like, all these things are happening? It's because she, like... It's called attuning.
Mm-hmm.
It's just... It's insane. I'm like, blown away by it. But last night, it's... She went to this guy called John of God. And I don't know if you guys know what John of God is. I've sort of
you
explained it.
You described him, right?
Right.
In South America or something?
Right. He's in Brazil. It's all over Oprah. Oprah did a thing last week on it. It's all over her network and on the show and whatnot. And it's if you Google John of God, he's everywhere.
Yeah.
Very, very famous person. And he is a medium. And he's in Brazil. And people, thousands of people come a day. Like, they come from all over the world with all kinds of ailments to be healed by him. And he literally touches you and you're healed. And it's crazy. Crazy. And he invokes spirits of God, basically. And you know that he invokes a spirit because he, like, bends over and he, like, like sucks up this energy. And then you see the transformation. His eyes go from brown to blue. So you know he's a different spirit. And then he literally, I mean, it's crazy what has happened. And it's filmed. And, like, Oprah heard about it, went down there, actually filmed healings. People with stage 4 cancer. I mean, like, all kinds of things. And they're cured. It's crazy. So, people, like, if you're in the spiritual or the healing world, or if you're sick or, you know, you're desperate, you're going to Google and you're going to know about it. But anyway, she goes to him, and around 40 years old, she became a healer. She, all of a sudden, she's like, I don't know where these powers came from, but, like, it just kind of happened. So she kind of went to him, and she's been going to him about every year or so, and or a couple times a year.
Right.
And she wrote a book on him, John of God, and her name's Gail Thackray. And she has she does free healings. She believes if she charges for healing like him, if she charges for it, that her powers will be taken away.
Really?
So she just wants to heal people. It's amazing. She's an incredible woman, and she's got a ranch up in Sylmar called Indian Springs Ranch. And so anyway, I went to her last night. She just got back from Brazil. And she brought back water from John of God. Each of us had the water, and she did healings. And I can't even explain to you how incredible it is to see, you know, she's in the room. There's like 100 people in the room, and she'll point people out, like, someone over here, husband died, you three, you three, you. And then the lady will be like, yeah, okay, your husband wants to talk to you. Come up here. And then she just starts going off. And it's like, you're watching this and you're like, what? And she's like, okay, you have an issue with, you know, your heart. Let me fix it right now. And she's like, yeah, I do. And she'll just like, she does all the stuff and they're done. And the craziest thing that happened last night, this lady has had, I don't know what it is when you shake with that disease, when you're like, you know, nonstop shaking. I guess, and I, maybe it's a stroke, how it happened. She's been like that for 20 years. This lady could not walk, and they had to bring her up there and sit her down. And she said, you want to stop shaking? And she's like, yeah. And so she, I swear to God, we watched this right in front of us. And it was all videotaped, too, so like she's going to play it back for later. But I'm like sitting right there, and I'm watching this lady, and she's, you know, shaking all over uncontrollably.
Right.
And it took a couple times to work on her, but her head stopped shaking at the end of it. And she went to like get like ask for help to get up, and Gail's like, no, you can walk. And she got up and she was able to walk.
Wow.
Okay. And we all sat there like, what?
Yeah.
And we all had chills, and you could just feel the energy in the room. It was just amazing. And what she does before she goes into her healings, she gets you into this meditation. She makes everyone in the room do a meditation and invite, you know, your guides and your spirits and your loved ones or passed away or whatever in the room.
Right.
And she'll just go off on tangents and start saying, you have an uncle or you have an aunt or you have this, and like tells you messages, and you're like, that's right.
Hmm.
And she'll mention names. Like, it's totally like, it's crazy legit. It's just phenomenally amazing. So I've been helping her out. I'm helping her out on some other things. And I went last night, and you know, she helped me with a little bit of my issue. Remember I told you I've been like, I can't eat, and like the whole like, I'm gonna get a colonic today, so I'll be fine too, but whatever. But she's like, you're holding all your relationship issues in your stomach area.
Really?
And I was like, oh, interesting. Because I have like so much going on in my house and like everywhere else right now. And
four guys being dated at the same time.
Yeah, totally that. Yeah.
That stress you out.
It's like, it could be family stuff. It's like a bunch of things. And she's like, you need to like just like let that go. So it's funny what she told me to do. I'm not going to tell you what she told me to do. But so I did that in my head and whatever. And I felt better. I
really?
Was like, oh, yes. Wow. Yeah. So I do feel better this morning, finally, but I'm going to go get a colonic later. So,
yeah. Whatever. I guess it does help when you believe it and stuff, because
you're open. You don't have to. And that's one thing she went into. She's like, I don't care if you're a believer or not. You can just sit here and you can watch. But she's like, I can work on anyone. It doesn't matter.
Really?
Yeah.
So what about your Lyme disease? Have her cure you from that?
She did, apparently. She told me, this was 2 weeks ago, I went in, and she told me I need to go get, because she's coming on the show on Monday, and she's like, she cured someone before who had Lyme disease, and he went back in for his test, and it showed up he's never had it.
Really?
Yeah. And she's done it a few times, someone with cancer, someone with the Lyme, and she's like, I want you to go back in and get tested this week, so that on Monday when I come in, we have something else to talk about. And I was like, okay, you know, so I'm going to do it. And I've had Lyme since I was 13.
Yeah.
So
now, how come these people are not like really, really famous? I mean, these people are like, you know.
Right. It's only been a couple years. It hit her when she was 40, like I said. And I think she wrote a couple books. She's been traveling a lot to work with John of God and get healings from him to be able to help heal others, or work through that spirit is what she's doing. And now she's teaching other people who have the healing power to do it. Like, I went to her for Reiki, that's where I got my baby chipmunk. but died the next day. But yeah, anyway. So I'm helping her and kind of get some PR and get out there, because my sister works for the New York Open Center. And so and she's got these, and she's got a show that she's working on. But it's hard, you know, when you're a healer, you can't heal yourself. That's the biggest thing. You can heal some of yourself, but you can't fully heal yourself.
Right.
So it's interesting. You can't, just like when you read for people, if you've ever heard this, people who are like, can do cards or can read you, they can't really read for themselves. It's like blocked. It's like only allowed to help others, not for yourself.
Yeah.
So, which is interesting, but, yeah, so like you need other healers to like go in. So that's why it's like a big community. Everyone kind of sticks together, because you like help and heal each other.
Yeah.
Or whatever. But my sister works at the New York Open Center, so which is the largest center in the U.S., spiritual center in the U.S., where like the Dalai Lama goes and speaks, and people book, like, you know, come from everywhere to like, you know, come be healed or whatnot. So I'm working on getting her stuff passed through there. But she'll be here on Monday on the show.
Okay. Well, I can't wait.
But that's my spiel, because I was like, last night, and I'm watching this, and I'm like, I knew she was good because I saw what I saw. But like last night, I was like, there's 100 people here, and damn, holy crap. Like, the lady that couldn't walk, I was like, this is insane. And the lady was like 80 some years old. Like, she was old.
Wow.
And I couldn't believe it. I was like,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, Parkinson's is a terrible disease, you know. And
Yeah,
my grandfather died of it. And what happens is your muscles just, they become so rigid that you can't really move anymore.
You can't. You don't have control of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So you have to be in action all the time.
It was really awesome last night to see that.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we have a special guest in the studio who's been waiting very patiently.
Enjoying the conversation.
Yes. Why don't you tell us who he is?
Yeah, well, Tom is here with us today, and he has Crown Vodka and Tributo Tequila.
Oh, so you guys have tequila now, too.
Yeah, we just picked that up. Crown Vodka has been around, I guess, total for about 3 years, but just within about the year, we really kind of hit the mainstream. We got on with a major distributor, and we've had some big things happen for us. And just recently, we joined forces with a Tributo a mi Padre tequila. Really, really cool story.
Oh, yeah.
On that.
And you guys do have cool bottles.
We
sexy.
Yeah, the Crown Vodka bottle is pretty cool. It's all black. It's got golden.
It's chrome.
Yeah. Oh, it's chrome. Okay.
Yeah, it's chrome.
It looks kind of golden, but.
it's a great story behind that. The vodka was developed. Our parent company, Fourth Street LLC, does wines. One of our big customers is Nobu, high-end Japanese restaurant, partially owned by Robert De Niro, who gets blamed for all of the evils of fishing and stuff like that. Whenever you hear about, you know, somebody catching a dolphin instead of a tuna, they blame it on Robert De Niro now.
Oh.
So Nobu, I've heard of it. They have it in New York, in Las Vegas.
Oh, great restaurant. Amazing restaurant.
Do they have one here too?
Yes, there's one right up on La Cienega, like a spectacular restaurant. As a matter of fact, I think I overjet a cocktail there at one point in time.
You actually do. And you know what's funny is I know Nobu himself. I was lucky enough to meet him, and his wife owns Matsuisa.
Right, exactly.
Because Val, when I used to be with Val Kilmer, he's very good friends with Nobu, and so we used to be able to go there.
Okay. Right.
Anyway,
out of the one in New York, Nobu had just kicked out, and I shouldn't say the name on radio, but they kicked out a major vodka, and they came to us and said, well, you guys do a great job with the wine. Why don't we come up with the vodka? And about the time we were talking about creating a high-end domestic vodka, somebody clinked down an American Express black card. The black card with the silver letters coming out. And it's like, well, it's classy, it's prestige, it's American. Why don't we go after that for a package? So we kind of became the anti-ultra premium packaging, because the tall frosted bottles have become almost cliche in the vodka industry.
Yeah.
And so we went completely against it. It really pops. You know, we got a Nick's in Beverly Hills, too. And they have the reach-in freezers for the vodkas. I placed there, and I went between two of those frosted bottles. And by the time I went back in to buy a cocktail, bottle was half gone because people were going, wow, what's that?
Yeah.
And the vodka itself is outstanding.
And I think with things like this, the packaging is very important. Right?
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah.
Because people don't know, like, let's say they can't tell the difference in the flavor or something. So they have to pick out something, especially if they hadn't drank it before.
Absolutely.
You know,
and it's funny you should say, because that gets me in the door. You know, there's a zillion vodkas out there. You know, and when I walk into a restaurant to make a presentation with a salesperson, nobody's saying, oh, thank God you're here. We've been waiting for a new vodka. So, you know, their initial response is usually, one thing I don't need is another vodka. But they look at the package, it's like, well, that's cool enough. I got to taste it now. So thankfully, it's in the bottle as well as on the bottle. But it opens the door because it is very sexy. And we decided to come out with like an international appeal, because a lot of the small batch, and there's a huge trend right now in artisanal distilling across America. But a lot of them are only appeal to like their local region.
I see.
You get outside of 2-3 states and nobody cares about the water in Maine or something of that nature. So we decided to make sure we had something that kind of had a broad appeal to it when we went forward.
So, I know many vodkas are from Russia and stuff, but American vodka is pretty good, right?
American spirits. And that's the thing about American. We've always felt that about everything else, is that, you know, when an American puts their mind to it, when you have the freedom that we have here in the system, doesn't matter where you're from, but when you really embrace the fact that you can, you know, you can do anything, we can compete with anyone in the world on any topic. And it's one of the things I fight against, is everyone thinks, oh, great vodka has to be imported.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's kind of that stigma, because it was, it started in Poland, and then as you get up into Russia, the Estonia area, that's what they call the vodka belt. Mm. You know, all of these vodkas come from that region, but America is making world-class spirits. small batch spirits.
Wow, that's pretty interesting.
It's just like when you assume, like, oh, well, the wine is not from Italy or France, and it sucks, you know? And it's like, okay, here we have in California, like, a bunch of great places.
And then you watch the movies about, you know, the American wine kicking the butt of the French wines and blind competitions. Yep. There have actually been films of French people, like, trying to erase their vote after they voted for an American wine and realized that the American wine won the contest. They're all freaking out.
That's funny.
But, I walk into a bar with an Old West swagger. I literally point to the back bar and say, draw. Pull down the vodka you think is the best, and let's go toe-to-toe. Really? I don't just talk the talk. I walk the walk, and we pull it out. And all I ask is that when you taste this vodka, taste ours first.
Right.
Because so many of them have this associated burn. Mm. We have this very clean, smooth, silky style. And part of that is coming from the grain. We're 100% corn. Most vodkas are wheat. The original was potato. But the corn, makes us naturally gluten-free.
Brigetta. Yes. Which is great for me.
Yeah, she's probably the only person in the world I know who has problems with gluten.
Actually, I know so many people.
Really?
So many people that have it. Yeah.
Oh, my niece. My niece has terrible troubles with that. And actually... we did this by accident. We just like the taste of corn.
Right.
And it wasn't until we went out and started presenting it. It's like, well, that must be gluten-free. Okay. But now you do the study on what's going on with the gluten-free. Everybody is going all in. The number of SKUs, which is, you know, a product line in grocery stores, has like nearly doubled over the past couple of years with the gluten-free SKUs. It's really, you know, it's one of those things that most people, to some degree, they may not have celiacs is the name of the disorder, and they may not have that, but it's difficult to digest for a lot of people, a lot more than people realize.
Yeah. Now, when you design a vodka, when you create it and all that stuff, is this done like in a lab and things like that? I mean, how do you achieve what you want with it?
Yes, it's funny because...
I kind of want to go. There is one.
Oh, no, yeah. It's in Bend, Oregon.
Oh, my God.
If you've never been there...
I've been there, actually. My co-star used to be from there, from
really?
Project Marvel. I never knew where it was until she used to talk about Bend, Oregon all the time.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're going to Bend, Oregon, you're there because...
It's farms,
it's,
right?
What's that?
Is it like farms and stuff?
Well, I mean, it's up in the mountains. Good. Yes, yeah. There is some farmland there. It's a big... actually, it's an outdoorsy kind of thing, no matter what you're into. Mm-hmm. If you're into hiking, boating, skiing, whatever the case may be, you can do pretty much all of that in Bend, Oregon. But if you're there, it's because you're going there. You don't, like, wind up in Bend going to Portland because it's off the beaten path. I mean, it's up in the – just getting there. Lord have mercy.
But I can imagine businesses would open there because it's probably not as expensive to run a business there.
It's funny. Bend, during the economic boom, was a huge boom town and expanded out to this huge degree. And then, obviously, you know, the economy went and it deflated, but it became a boomtown because of how desirable it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not as cold as you get up to the top of the Cascade Mountains. I mean, it gets crisp there, but you're not buried in snow like you are in certain places.
Right.
The water's fantastic, and that ties into the quality of our vodka, too. We're the only vodka that I know of that doesn't have to completely deionize our water, which is demineralization.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to do that whenever you're in a city source. You get what's called toxic salts. The salts that are in the water absorb toxins, and you can't get them out. The water that we use right out of the Cascade Mountains is absolutely spectacular. When my first trip there, of course, day one, you're at a distillery, you're going to be drinking a bit. And I got back to the hotel room and I'd forgotten to buy bottled water. And usually hotel water is frightening. But
this is true.
It was either drink it or like dehydrate, you know, wake up as a raisin. So I had the tap water out of the Red Lion Hotel in Bend, Oregon. It was spectacular. It was like, wow, it saved my life.
Really?
Absolutely. So it really, and you can really taste that quality. You can taste that kind of vibe.
And that's tap water, right?
Well, you do have to go through, legally, you do have to go through a process to bring it
in. No, I mean the water that you tasted.
Oh, yeah. It was right out of the tap in Bend, Oregon. Yeah, it was in a hotel room. And that's like, I mean, even it makes a coffee taste terrible when you do the hotel room coffee.
Oh, my God,
and when
it's awful.
If you're in, like...
It's awful.
It's an awful
thing. I use bottled water, always.
Oh, you have to.
Yep.
Except, you know, this place, because like I said, I was in the hotel room. I wasn't going anywhere. I mean, my mouth felt like I ate, you know, like a ton of cotton. I'm, like, dying here, so I reached the tap water. It's like, wow, this is really good. You know, and then did a face plant.
Yeah.
Which it's what you do if you spend all day at a distillery.
This is true. I would like to go to the distillery. I think that would be fun.
You guys are invited anytime, and we will give you the VIP treatment. It's a real cool place. But to answer the original question, yes, there is a lot of science in chemistry majors common. In a distilling background, in winery background, a lot of people don't realize it because I worked on the wine side for the better part of 20 years. You go into a major winery and there is a place that is a lab where they're testing all of the different acids, all of the different balances, things of that nature. So, yes, but at the end of the day, you know, in a product like this, it comes down to how it feels on the palate. So you go through all of the chemistry and all of the science. And then you sit down and do the taste test. And we took this and went toe-to-toe with every vodka on the market. We literally went out and bought one of everything you can think of and went toe-to-toe and are very, very proud of what we came up with.
Right.
Wow.
Now, how the I know, like, with wines, for example, the fermenting process makes it, like, creates the alcohol and stuff in the drink. How does it happen here?
Okay, well, there is a fermentation. That is how alcohol is formed. But with grain, you have, well, corn is naturally sweet, so you don't have to produce sugar. If you're doing something with wheat or barley, you have to sprout it, basically, malt it. And once that sprouts,
I hate wheat and barley. Stay away. Stay far away.
And once it sprouts, you create sugar, and so then you have to ferment it. And so that's when you create a mash. You basically mush it up, hot water, yeast, and you'll have to let that fermentation. And it looks muddy. It's not a pretty look when you do all that. Porridge gone wrong.
I made my own wine once. It was years ago. I took fruit and I fermented it and like I put sugar, I can't remember what we did, put sugar in it or whatever and let it sit there for weeks and it was so disgusting and I drank it and I got wasted off of it but it tasted like ass. It smelled so bad. I was like, I'm holding my breath, but the fact that I made it, I'm doing it.
And there goes that career as a winemaker, right? But you're Italian, it should be in your blood. No,
but I was like given like 15 or 16 when I did this, so yeah.
Wow, you have been a wild woman for a long time. 15 making her own. I am impressed.
My brother made his own beer. He makes very good beer. He actually still does it. He wants to open a distillery.
At 15?
He's older now, but he started young.
Really? I'll be darned. That's awesome.
My parents went to yell at him. Well, they didn't know. They went to go drink a beer. And my dad's like, this is really good beer. Where'd it come from? And there's like bottles that don't have any labels on them.
Right.
And my dad's like, where the hell did this come from? And like, he sees all this in the basement and he's like, mayor to my mom. My mom doesn't drink. And she's like, I didn't do it. And my dad's like, fucking kids. You know? And he goes, I'm like, I didn't do it. Don't look at me. It wasn't me this time. Yeah. And it was my brother. And I'm like, he's in trouble.
Well, it's fun when it's not you, right?
Exactly.
You know, when it's the brother,
and
sister.
I'm like,
people that don't have brothers and sisters don't get that. It's a tremendous level of enjoyment.
Exactly.
When you want to...
And I'm like, yes, that's totally him. And my dad was like, you're in trouble, but this is really damn good. So that's kind of how that started.
So, yeah, you have to limit how mad you are. Yeah, I'm a kid made good beer. You know?
Exactly. You're like, damn.
Yeah. Now, were you with them from the beginning with Chrome?
No, not from the very beginning. It was started by Matt O'Brien and Steven Rodenbeck, two guys out of Jersey. They'd known each other since school, and they started with the wine thing, and it just kind of gravitated into the – but they are the coolest guys. I tell people all the time that I don't really have bosses. I have these two, like, really, really great friends that happen to own the company that I'm working at.
You're very fortunate.
I'm ruined to ever do anything else. I'm unemployable to go to any other company because I'm really spoiled. Matt and I do you know, we take care of business. We sit down and, you know, we take care of business and we'll talk there for about, you know, half hour, 45 minutes. And then we'll just, you know, talk shit about people and laugh for the next hour. It's pretty much our, you know, whenever we have one of our meetings. So it's really amazing. But
sounds like a great place to work.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And we're very few of us wearing a lot of hats right now, but we have so much in the pipeline right now that's going the right direction. It's amazing.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
How large is the company? How many employees?
The people that have the word Chrome on their card is three: Matt, Steve, and myself. They gave me a sweat equity piece of the pie moving forward. It was when I was coming off of another gig. They're a small company coming up. I have a sales background, and they said, well, you know, if you're willing to bite the bullet and struggle for a couple of years with us, we'll take care of you. So they put together was something really, really strong, really exciting.
Right.
It was interesting making the transition from fine wine to liquor. And they, you know, you think they're both alcohol, they're both sales, two right. completely different worlds.
Different worlds. So now, were you selling wine before that?
I have been around wine as long as I can remember. I had an interest in it growing up. I remember being in the seventh grade French class and writing a report about wine years before I could
really?
Drink it.
That's so awesome.
Now, why do you think that is? I mean, how do you become fascinated with wine?
I don't. You know, I'll tell you exactly why. It's very interesting. I remember being a little kid. This is great. If you remember the James Bond movie, Diamonds Are Forever.
Yes.
And so James Bond and, it's skipping my mind, the Bond girl. Cute little redhead gal that was the Bond girl.
Yeah.
And at the very end of the movie, there's these two guys that have been trying to kill James Bond for the entire movie. Mm-hmm. And Jill St. John. And so he's sitting out in this boat balcony with Jill St. John, and the assassins come in, and James Bond has a hint it's them, and asks a trick question on wine. And the camera goes to Jill St. John, I'm 8 years old, goes to Jill St. John just for a second, lifts an eyebrow, looks really impressed. And I'm a little kid going, that's cool, because she's really hot. And so that was my first interest in wine, gospel truth.
That was traumatic, I would imagine.
Of course, it's never worked for me. Jill St. John has never returned my phone calls.
Aww. So it's, maybe we can work on that.
That's
you should find her on Twitter.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good story, you know. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So you grew up and you decided that's what you're going to do?
Yeah. I wound up going into the restaurant business initially. Mm-hmm. I started working in restaurants when I was 15. I've done everything in the restaurant from wash dishes up through general management. And it just turned into a lot of hours. And I got to a point where I'm either going to open my own restaurant or do something restaurant-esque. And I went back to my roots, because by that point in time, I had started doing a lot of, you know, my employee seminars, started, you know, working on the wine lists, obviously, which is a big part of your responsibility. And so that was always feeding that passion. And then at one point in time, I just decided to go all in and started my career all over again, which with wine means merchandising, getting up at about the time I used to go to bed. I went from closing bars to getting up at about 2-3 o'clock in the morning to go work grocery stores.
Really?
So, it was brutal for about 5 months.
Well, you're a hard worker, man. I gotta give you that.
It comes down to work ethic. And I have to pay a compliment to Miss Brigetta Tamarchio, because I have worked with once again on the liquor side, you start to work with model types and whatnot and a lot of pretty girls, but work ethic is rare, and I have to pay a high compliment to bring, not just another pretty
face. I agree.
Yeah.
Thank you.
High kudos, most definitely. When she recently helped me out at Hollywood Park, and I'll get into that in a second.
Yeah.
Absolutely owned it. Just walked in, and you know, and that's work ethic. No matter what I'm going to do, I'm going to do it well. And she walked in and absolutely owned it. So
sounds good. Yeah. So what happened there? You guys opened what, a bar there?
Yes, we have a chrome theme bar. It's an idea we had been tossing around for a while. Exactly. And if you ever walked through an airport and seen like there's a rum that's out there that does a lot of the theme bars. So it happens in airports a lot, where you just kind of come out with like, Europe. You know, you go to Amsterdam, and they, you know, you go into a beer hut, it's not just all the beers, it's like there's a brand beer and there's a Heineken beer, you know, and so there's a lot of places that do that. So we
like
kind of
every concert, does that.
So we decided to come up with our theme bar. There was a bar at Hollywood Park, and I had worked with the administrator there, Hugh Gallagher, on a couple other projects. And we just kind of got together, put our heads together, and decided to come with the concept and did the bar in the theme of the bottle. So we have the black with the silver with, you know, the white, which really, you know, white lettering on parts of it. So we did this whole bar in that concept to promote chrome vodka.
Right.
And a couple of our partners, Tributo Tequila, Crater Lake Gin, which is also made at the same distillery where chrome is made, and Dr. Swami and Bone Daddy mixes, which is a high-end premium mix. And I also snuck in there with one of my buddies. I got a placement of Ventura Limoncello, which if you've never tried it, it absolutely electrifies a cocktail in
a
margarita limoncello. Yeah, when we were on the guy's
show. Yeah, that's right. Guy Talk Radio.
So I was making cocktails. It wasn't 10 in the morning. It was a little bit later, so we had a cup of cocktails.
And I wasn't sick that day.
Brigetta will take a drink now, I'm sure.
I don't know about that. I was about ready to do shots. shots of Pepto. You know, I heard she wasn't feeling well, and I was going to stop off and bring shot glasses and a bottle of Pepto-Bismol.
You know, I'd be game for it, absolutely, if for the fact that, remember we explained yesterday that I haven't been able to shit in days since I ate gluten on Wednesday.
That's true.
I am not feeling good.
Yeah.
I put it this
and
way.
Nothing's working, huh?
Well, I took, this is insane. I took two laxatives, what was it, Saturday morning, and they took effect yesterday afternoon.
Mm.
That's how, I mean, but okay. Not really, like only slightly.
Yeah.
And I was like, and my girlfriend was like, that took that long. I'm like, I know.
Wow.
So, and then, yeah, so I'm going to get a colonic
today. So having a shot of booze on an empty stomach and not being able to eat, probably not
probably
the best
not
thing.
Eat, and I haven't been able to eat yet at all, because everything I eat, it sits. It just stays, like, right in my stomach, and I'm like, awful.
Yeah.
Well, then, someday, if Sam and you were kind enough to have me back, I'll come in with Bloody Mary mix.
Which I would love.
Yeah, we'll start the day with some Bloody Marys.
Woo-hoo!
We'll put them in sippy cups so we don't spill them on your computer or anything like that.
Yeah, because I would spill them on my computer.
we went last night to dinner, and I had a Bloody Mary. It was terrible, man. And I asked them, you know, the thing is this. I think the ratio of alcohol is probably different between everybody. You know, I mean, some people like it stronger, some people don't. So I asked for it to be not so strong. And it tasted so strong. And then they put, like, Tabasco, I think, in it. And it was so, so hot.
Right.
I mean, you know, I think they need to ask you about these things before. So, you know, with drinks, it's like, I find it hard to find a good drink.
Well, that ties into something that we're doing, which there's a huge trend in America right now. And they're calling it mixology. And basically, old world bartending is coming back in a big way. So rather than reaching for the lime flavored vodka or the lemon flavored vodka or artichoke flavored or whatever it is, you know, new they're going to come out with, let's create the flavors and create balance, very much the way a chef does.
Right.
And so we are actually part owners of a show called The Bartender. If you've ever watched like one of these cooking shows like Chopped or Top Chef, some of these shows where they bring up young up-and-coming chefs, they throw them surprise ingredients, they cook against each other, and there's a penultimate winner. We have done that with mixology.
That's so cool.
It's really amazing. So it was filmed in New York. One of the nation's top mixologists, and they, I mean, unless you're tied into the community, these guys are huge within their community. Steve Olson is the host of the show. And then for the commercials that we're filming in between, because we own part of the show, we're going to have our commercials built in. We had to get L.A., you know, a nod. This is our backyard. So Julian Cox has won national awards for his mixology talent. And so he's going to be doing the commercials. I will be the voice of Chrome. So, you know,
you need a female voice. Let me know.
Well, that's hard to say no to.
Exactly. Now they do.
I actually do a lot of voiceovers. I do a ton of voice. I do.
Oh, you said you used to sing the Maytag song too. Do you still sing?
Absolutely. Oh, wow. Have you seen my naked commercials? Is that what you're talking about?
I've seen the pictures on the website. I went to the website. Is there?
I was on a commercial which was told would not air in the U.S. at all, which apparently will be Maxim's number one commercial. I did topless skydiving for a European commercial, and it was for washer and dryer company. And it was very famous over in Europe, and I was only told that it was going to air there, and I got paid very well for it. It was awesome. Who wouldn't want a topless skydive and get paid for it? It's an amazing thing.
I guess it is.
Freaking phenomenal. And it was with a bunch of girls, and I was one of the featured. It was me and like three other girls that were like featured in it. And long story short, my dad owns a very big corporation here, and he's got a lot of employees. And it got passed down and passed down, world's best commercial, blah, 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 and bam, my dad sees it. And I get a phone call. What the fuck is this?
Oh, that's awesome.
And I'm like, you know what? Get over it.
Yeah, I have a feeling he's not shocked. You know?
No, he wasn't
He knows
he
what he's got on his hands.
That's disgusting. Like, is it disgusting? Because you were actually going to, you watched it. You watched it to realize it was me, so it's clearly not disgusting.
Yeah.
It got your attention, didn't it? Yeah, you're just mad that it was me. So you know what? Shut up.
And boobs are not disgusting anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, but I will say, you know,
it is weird when it's your daughter.
Yeah.
No, Vicky and I, when we're sitting on the sofa and watching certain commercials, commercials, and they're entertaining, and it's on television, so, you know, how risky. But we sit back, it's like, well, I wonder what dad and mom think about that. Yeah. You see some of them really risky. Now we know. It's not always mom and dad's fault. They're, yeah. What are you doing?
just imagine when your kid gets into porn, man. I mean, my God. What do you say then?
Wow.
Yeah. Did you hear about the Octomom?
Yeah,
she wants to get into porn now, and she said...
I am not surprised.
That's what she needs, is to have more sex.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, the thing is, she's got 14 kids to support, you know? So she's saying that she would, she will consider it, but she wouldn't even kiss or touch.
What?
So, I mean, what kind of porn is that, you know?
I wonder what she got offered, though. Because didn't she get an offer?
She hasn't yet. She did, and she turned it down.
Right. Originally, she turned it down. I remember this.
Yeah, and that was to pose in Playboy, I think.
I remember it was.
Yeah. But now she said she'd do porn, you know, just no touching. I don't know what that means. But...
Well, she's obviously not bashful around the equipment. Why wouldn't she, you know, not want to touch? I don't get that. 14.
Because she's got a reputation, too.
Yeah, that's it. I'm buying that.
You know, I mean, you've got 14 kids, you know. Are you really going to do something like this? You're not going to live it down forever.
Wow.
I have a question, though. Those 14 kids, because I don't ever remember this. Did she birth them all?
Yeah.
What the fuck? Her vagina must be huge.
It is.
Seriously, it is. She must be like getting gangbangs. Let me guess. That's what she would be doing, right? I wonder if you could fit two in one hole. That's some food for thought.
Yeah. Definitely something we need to think about.
See, this is where my brain goes. This is why we can't discuss these things, because my brain goes immediately to that.
But
I wonder.
What guy would want to be that close to the other guy, though? I mean, ew.
It's porn.
Yeah.
It's porn.
That's
people
true.
Rub
That's
sausage all the
close.
Time. They rub their sausage together. They swap swords. What is it?
Sword fighting?
Exactly.
Like lightsabers?
Did you ever do that when you were younger? Because my brother, I used to catch him in his room, like, pretending him. Oh, my God, he's going to kill me. He was like 4. But he would be like, and I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, nothing. Like, oh my God, you're using your penis as like a pretend gun. Because he would do it when he got out of the shower, really? So he'd walk in the room and be like, psh, 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 and I'm like, wow. That is.
Wow. No, I never did that one.
Yeah.
It's an interesting use for your penis.
Yeah.
Did you ever stick it in any fruit or anything?
No, I never did that one.
We were talking about that.
This was a conversation we had yesterday.
Right.
Because I have a lot of friends that have.
Oh, really?
Oh, potato was another one.
Potato.
Yeah.
Ow.
And that's crazy. They would even admit
it.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, if I did that, I wouldn't admit it to anyone.
Why not?
Because it's weird.
It's not weird. People do it all the time.
And you're ruining a perfectly good mango. I mean, or you know, whatever choice is.
Oh, you said it! You use a mango. But a lot of friends that I know, they use mango and melon.
Oh, you were saying, they use a mango?
No, I'm serious. That's what I was like, oh my God. And then the potato was one because it gets really soft when you heat it up, so it's like nice and warm center. So they carve it out and with
like a baked potato.
Yeah, baked potato. Oh my God. These are the things they were telling me. I'm like, oh my God.
Wow. You got to be pretty desperate to do that, you know?
I mean, a desert island, you know, you got nothing but fruit trees, you know, maybe. You know, you stuck out there for a few years, but, I mean, to voluntarily say, hey.
Yeah, that, never that, even crossed my mind.
That cantaloupe's looking pretty hot right now. It's... I don't get it.
Yeah. Wow. So, and then you guys decided to get into the tequila.
Well, here's what happened. You know, the broker world out there, and I need to digress to cover that. The broker world out there is a frightening place, and there's a lot of people that have got into the beverage industry out of passion, and then they try to move forward with it, and they're a babe in the woods, and there's a whole lot of people trying to take advantage of them. So over the past, you know, just since I've been there for a little over a year now, people have been coming at us left and right. Hey, can you help a brother out? Maybe we can attach. We can, you know, and you have to be really judicious as to what you do. And then we came across Hector Barreto, who is really, really impressive by his own right. Hector is head of the Latino Coalition, which goes out to 1.2 million Latin business owners. Mm-hmm. He was in the SBA in the White House for 5 years. He's currently a businessman by his own right. He had gone back, and it wasn't his plan to open a tequila company. A little over 5 years ago, he went back to Jalisco to his father's funeral. And so there's dealing with the lawyers, breaking things up, you know, the family's there. And so they finally get to the final portion, and the lawyer says, well, okay, now that we're done with all that, what do you want to do with all the agave? And just very as a matter of factly. Right. And Hector's like, what agave?
Wow.
Yeah. Agave? What do you mean, the one in the front yard? It's like, no, your dad bought 1,300 acres about a little over 4 years ago and planted it all to agave.
Wow.
It was his goal to come up with this tequila and release it as a family, you know, under the family name, this whole kind of thing. It's like, wow. I guess just leave it where it is. And it's interesting because a lot of the Johnny-come-lately tequilas, this has only been out a year, a little less, are all negociant. They're subject to the market, so they have to buy their agave. They have to rent tanks. To come in new in the business and have 1,300 acres of agave is unheard of.
Yeah.
And he's in the Jalisco Highlands. The agave plants grow about twice as big in the highlands. They have to wait for 7 years to harvest an agave plant for the sap for the
really?
Tequila.
Wow.
Yeah, it takes a while for them. So it's not a get rich quick scheme.
Yeah.
And to plant those. But it's the richness of the soil in the highlands, the available to the water in the highlands as opposed to the Tequila Valley. And just decided to move forward with the tequila. So came time to start bottling. It's like, well, what are we going to name this?
Right.
Well, I did this as a tribute to my father. So that became the name. Tributo a mi padre.
Cool. And you guys don't put worms in there, right?
We do not. That's mezcal. it's done with a little worm thing.
I like eating the worm.
It is so freaking gross.
I've done it. You get so wasted.
Really?
It's amazing.
Wow.
Well, I did it in Australia as part of our show.
Right.
You ate the friggin' worm.
We actually had a whole bottle of worms. There was a whole thing of worms.
Really?
Like a whole jar. I don't know who makes it or what, but it was in Australia.
Well, the worm absorbs all the mescaline.
Yeah.
Which, if you have enough of it, it's like a hallucinogen.
That's why we did it.
Yeah. And so, yeah, you pop down one of those worms. Yeah. That's
hammer.
Yeah.
That was the night that I went out and got in trouble. We were in New Zealand at the time. And because we did both. We're in New Zealand, and we had filmed an episode where, oh, actually, this is on the episode. If you watch Project My World, check it out, because all right. I ate a bunch of worms, and I went on the street, and I get this thing where if if you wear buttons, by the way, and I'm wasted, I rip them. I just like ripping them. So I went down the street. Any person that had a button down, I just ripped them open.
Men and women?
Like, oh, I didn't care. Yeah, men and women. In fact, I got caught. It's on TMZ. It's on YouTube somewhere. You can find it. You can find me getting caught by them because I got hammered here in LA and did that dumb Hollywood Boulevard and went up to a woman and she was like, what the fuck? It's all on camera. It's pretty funny.
Yeah. I'm surprised you haven't done Fear Factor yet.
They asked me a long time ago when I was in Laundry Bowl. Yeah, they asked me to do it. And I wouldn't because I'm allergic and scared, terrified of spiders, but I'm allergic to the silk and you can't, it's too bad. So,
yeah.
In fact, I don't know. And like the thing is, I said I was scared. I didn't really say why because I like blow up from them,
right.
but that's why I wouldn't do it because I'm not going to go to the hospital.
Right.
For some stupid show.
But you would eat like pig
cow
balls.
Balls
and stuff
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Oh, they've done eyeballs. As a matter of fact, they had a wheel that they spun where you could have either a cow eyeball, a pig eyeball.
I'll do it. I don't care.
They had a choice of eyeballs.
Oh, my God. Yeah, she'll eat anything, man. She's a survivalist.
Right on.
Awesome. So tell us about the drinks. Do you have a website where people can check it out?
Yes, we do. If you log on to chromevodka.com.
Mm-hmm. And that's Chrome with a K.
Chrome with a K, and it's interesting. By spelling it with a K, we made it really easy to find online. You spell Chrome with a K, and we pop right up to the first page of Google without any search engine optimization. That was something we did, I think, smart by accident. It's nice when that happens. But we have gone all in on mixology, and we're really pushing towards the mixology bars. I'm working with another gentleman by the name of Joel Black, who is the consulting mixologist at Ford's Filling Station, a great bar in Culver City. Culver's kind of this great little, it's like a slice of Mayberry in the middle of, 10 million people in L.A.
They say they've really improved it now.
Oh, it's beautiful. You go to downtown there where, I call it Five Points, where kind of Venice and everything kind of comes in together, Venice and Culver and all that stuff. It's kind of that little old Main Street. As a matter of fact, Main Street has like a farmer's market on Thursdays where they shut it down.
Wow, nice.
In the middle of L.A., who knew? And Ford's Filling Station has picked up our vodka. We already mentioned Nobu, Culver Hotel, City Club. There's a couple of different places right down in that Culver area that are really kind of turning on to Chrome and ultimately Tributo.
Cool. So it I would imagine it takes a long time to really spread this throughout the country.
Oh, it is.
I mean,
yeah,
to get to every little town, every store.
You have no
stuff.
Idea.
Yeah.
Boy, that's an understatement, sir.
Yeah.
What it takes to get as well, especially, you know, you have a choice of being a big fish in a small distribution house or a small fish in a big distribution house. It's better to do the latter because at very least when they bring in the product, you get your, you know, you get paid for your product like that. And you do have a system that's reliable as far as delivering. But as far as going into a house where, you know, you can, some of these vodka brands are worth billions, literally billions.
Wow.
And so that gives them a little bit of political muscle within the distribution company. And here's little old squeaky, you know, Chrome at, you know, right around, you know, a little under 10,000 cases.
Yeah.
And so, but it takes a lot of, you know, focus and effort. But we have some great things going on between Hollywood Park, the bartender show that's going to be coming on NBC affiliate stations
awesome.
This coming May.
That's so awesome.
We're gonna have bottle placements on The Real Housewives of New Jersey this season. So we figured we get both extremes. We get the bartender, the cutting edge mixology crowd, and then the people that kind of sit in their sofa, watch popcorn, and watch gossipy style television. We just got approved for military distribution, and that's I needed another project, right? I'm working on you know finding my way through that mess, but we decided to give 50 cents per bottle towards the Intrepid Fallen Hero Fund.
That's awesome.
So
with
sales.
Yeah. Well, we are out of time, Tom.
All right, sir.
Thank you so much. Chrome Vodka and Tributo Tequila.
Thank you very much.
Everybody go out and get them. Thank you so much. And,
I Twittered it, so it's at Twitter, at Chrome Vodka as well.
Sounds good.
Cool.
Okay. Thanks, everybody, for listening. See you all tomorrow.
Bye.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Bridgetta, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Sam in the Morning with Bridgetta is an LA Talk Radio production where we say what we want.